It's good to belong to Jesus, isn't it? I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we stand to our feet, begin reading in verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8. Paul was writing to Timothy, giving instructions on how thou shalt behave thyself in the house of God. Instructs Timothy on the qualifications of two offices that should be a part of every church. And tonight, as we look at this, we read about the office of the deacon. And the Bible says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let those also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to look into your word. And Lord, we thank you for your clear instructions to us. And I ask you to meet with us tonight as we look at this portion of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that we'd see the truths of your word and understanding how things ought to be in the house of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for what is accomplished. We give this time to thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Last week, of course, we looked at the office of the pastor. And tonight, we look at the office of the deacon. And as we look at this, we read the clear instructions given to us concerning this office. There's no doubt that the New Testament church is a church, is to have deacons in their church. When they're there and qualified, you don't make a man to be a deacon just because he's a man and just because, you know, he certain things. There's qualifications. There are things that we look at. We look at this, we see that the pastor is called by the Lord, but the deacon's chosen by the church. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, to choose out from among you, and it gives a list of things, men, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and we see that. The word deacon is an interesting word. It means to be a servant, to be a waiter, to be a helper. And so many people take what a deacon is, and they think it means so much more than what it means. While the deacon's not a ruler in the church in the sense that a bishop or a pastor is, and remember that ruler is not dictator, the deacon's to be a helper to the pastor and to be a servant to the church. And as we look at this, we see that in a lot of churches, problems arise when the use of the office of the deacon is misinterpreted, and then it becomes the misuse of the office. We need to understand that tonight that deacons that use their office well is one of the greatest attributes that any church could have. You ought to thank God for godly deacons and be appreciative of a deacon that loves the Lord and wants to do the right thing. Now, deacons, of course, are not overseers or they're not a governing board, but they're men that are spiritually qualified to help carry out the work of the New Testament church. May I say, one of the greatest blessings that a church can have are deacons that are godly. And a good deacon always helps the pastor to pastor the church. And I heard somebody say one time, you do one of two things when you're saved. You're either called to pastor or you're called to help the pastor. And I can see that, can't you? Everybody's to help the pastor to pastor the church. And that's not to say that he's the dude, you know, he's the main guy. The Lord Jesus is the main person, the main one. We understand that. But God calls a pastor and he calls people to help the pastor, and a deacon has that responsibility. And by the way, I've had the privilege of serving, of pastoring some great deacons in my life. Great deacons. And I've talked to other men that are deacons, and I've been thankful that they weren't deacons that were in my church, you know? I don't know if y'all have ever met people like that, but I have. And I've had the misfortune of dealing with a few of those in my lifetime, and maybe not as pastor, but just dealing with them. And we thank God for godly deacons. I want us to look at some of the things that ought to be evident in the life of the deacon tonight. As we look at this, as teaching these things and understanding these things, the Bible is clear on this. When we look at the office of the deacon, we see, first of all, that he is to be a man of good character. Notice I said a man of good character. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. There's no doubt that a deacon is to be a saved man. When you go back and you look at Acts chapter number 6, the Bible says that the deacon is to be full of the Holy Ghost. Well, I want you to understand tonight, you cannot be full of the Holy Ghost and not be saved. You can be full of the devil and not be saved, and there's probably some deacons around that are full of the devil, not saved, but they were chosen because of who they were or because of a certain status that they held. But there's no doubt that a deacon is to be a saved man, but he's to have good character also. He's being saved does not always mean that somebody has good character. If full of the Holy Ghost, you would. And the Bible goes on and it says, likewise must the deacons, it goes the same as the pastor, there are things, there are qualifications that are there, and these are the qualifications of the deacon. The Bible says that the deacon is to be grave. In other words, to be well respected, someone that people can imitate, someone that people can honor, and that is honorable among the people of the church. Not double-tongued. Now, I don't know if you've ever dealt with people that do this, but they'll say one thing to one person and another thing to somebody else. Talk out of, you know what they say, both sides of the mouth. Tell the story one way to somebody and then another way to somebody else just to try to get you on their side or whatever. Well, the Bible says that a deacon is not to be double-tongued. And then it goes on and says not given to much wine. Boy, some likes to take this statement and run with it. You know? They like to take it and say that it reads that just a little is okay. But need we be reminded of what the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 when it says, it is neither good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby a brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. I realize what that's talking about. But I don't know of any reason that a Christian ought to drink alcoholic beverages for the pure reason of drinking, you know, for pleasure at all. Now obviously we talked about this last week, the wine of the day is different than the wine of the days of the Bible, and even in those days, in most cases, it was to be watered down. So they say most of the time a 20-to-1 ratio when it was used. Isn't that amazing? But the Bible is clear about the drinking of wine. And anyone that thinks that this is an excuse, you know, that not given to much wine is an excuse to drink alcoholic beverage, I believe is looking for a way to fulfill the lust of the flesh. They're looking for a way to not have the kind of testimony that the Lord would want them to have. They're bringing occasion of sin in their life. The Bible says, look not thou on the wine when it is red. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. By the word, that word raging is the right word, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. So I believe the Bible's clear. When we compare Scripture with Scripture, we have an understanding of that. Man of good character, grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, the Bible says. In other words, God is not to take second place. He's to be in the right place in their lives. And so many will give all their all to obtaining wealth and give so little that brings glory to God. When people allow the secular things to come ahead of the spiritual things, then they're headed for a train wreck. The deacon is to be somebody that always puts the Lord in the right place in their life. If he's to be grave and to be respected, imitated, then the Bible says he'll hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. He's to be solid in his faith in Christ and in the doctrines of God's Word. A deacon needs to understand the Bible teachings. He is to understand so that he is able to take certain responsibilities. That's what the Bible says. A man that has good character. And then a man that is proven. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of the deacon, being found blameless. There's a great mistake in a lot of churches. When somebody has money, then they'll say, they'd be a good deacon. When they have a good social standing, they'd be a good deacon. When they get along with people, they'd be a good deacon. But they've never been proven. And if they've not been proven, then they would not be a good deacon. The Bible says that they are to first be proved. Right? Now, you know what the Bible says? God is true. And the Bible says first be proved. It's an injustice. Really, it's a terrible injustice to the man, for a church to even place a man in the office of a deacon if he's not mature enough to take on that responsibility. I was talking to a church and some people that went to a church, and they were talking about their deacons, and they were so excited. They said, we have deacons of all ages, and they had teenagers that were serving on the deacon. They said the deacon board. And I thought, that's not right. They're not ready for that. They don't have that capability, you know? There has to be some world wisdom to be able to be a deacon. You have to have lived some days. Now, there's not a specific age given to us, but I can assure you tonight that there's probably not a teenager ready to be a deacon in a church. As a matter of fact, any man want to be a deacon has to be crazy, right? Amen? Because, see, you know, I get to carry a lot of people's problems, but he gets to hear all the bad stuff about the preacher because everybody talks to him about it because they don't want to talk to me about it. So, I've never understood why any man want to be a deacon, you know? They get to get all the gruff, and they don't seem like they don't get any glory or anything, but that's not what it's all about, is it? It's that the Lord get the glory. First be proved. It's not about the status in business, not about the status in society, but it's about their walk with the Lord. It's not about worldly education, it's about the wisdom of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 6, they're to be full of wisdom. And if they're proven and found blameless, and remember that word blameless does not mean sinless, right? They're not sinless, they're to be blameless. In other words, they have the good character and that good moral standing. Then, the Bible says, let him use the office of the deacon. A man that's going to be a deacon has to be a man of good character. It needs to be a man that is proven. And then thirdly, a man with his family in order. The Bible says in verse number 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Now, I thought it was quite interesting that the only mention of the pastor's wife was that he's to be the husband of one wife. But for the deacon, it gives qualifications for the deacon's wife. And I thought, why is that so? And I found out because it is very difficult to be a pastor's wife. And the Lord didn't want to put too much on her. She has to deal with him all the time. And if she has to deal with the pastor all the time, then the Lord knows she has enough to deal with. And she's not in here, but I'll say amen for her tonight. Because she really deals with a lot of stuff with me, you know. She deals with me all the time. And she straightens me out right good, you know. She lets me know when I need to be straightened out. And we just go right along. And God's been so good to give me a godly wife. But the Bible says that a deacon is to be the husband of one wife. That's not divorced and remarried. Now, I want to stop here, take a moment, and say something about this. Just because somebody has been divorced does not mean they cannot be used of God. Some of the greatest people I know have had the misfortune of a divorce in their life. But they're some of the greatest servants of the Lord. And this is talking specifically about two offices that they cannot hold. But outside of that, I want you to think of all the wonderful things that they can do. We could not make it as a church. No church could make it if it were not sent for some of the godly people that while they've had the misfortune of divorce in their life, if it were not for them serving in the churches and helping us carry out the work of the Great Commission and the work that God has for us. We'll never look down our nose at somebody that's had that. We just try to take God at His Word and understand that in these particular offices, that God says it's best for them not to be in those positions. But think of everything else that can be done. And the Bible goes on and says that his wife, this wife, he's the husband of one wife, and that wife is to whom he's married is to be grave also, respected. That she's not to be a slanderer. She's not to be an accuser, an evil one. And she's to be sober. That means serious or have self-control. Let me tell you something. I've been around deacons, and I've dealt with deacons whose wives were their downfall. I have seen it too many times. And they could not keep their mouth quiet. When something went on, the first thing they wanted to do was get on the phone, go talk to some other ladies about it. That is absolutely no self-control. And thank the Lord for a good deacon's wife. Amen? Sober, serious, self-control. And then she's to be faithful in all things. Dependable. She's to be there. She's to be there. You just know that's what's going to happen. Why? Because they have their house in order and they're working together to carry out the work that God has for them to do. They realize the responsibility and they realize the need for each other, that the husband needs the wife and the wife needs the husband, and they gather strength from each other and they become great servants of the church. And the Bible goes on and says, rules their own children well, their own houses well. And deacons to be a husband, a father that leads the home. And as long as children are in the home, then he's to guide and instruct in the ways of the Lord. Man that's to be a deacon. And then finally we see that he's a man that goes forward. Verse 13 says, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase of themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. See, a good deacon not only gains the respect of the people of the church, but he's also there to help the church to go forward. That's what deacons do. They help the pastor church. They help the church to go forward. They see certain needs. They help take care of those things. They get the job done. They pray about things. They trust the Lord about things. They get people together. They unite together. And they use their office well. And when they use the office well, they're desiring to gain knowledge of the Word and the ways of God. Just as it's important for a pastor to study the Bible, it is important for a deacon to study the Bible, and it's important for a Sunday school teacher to study the Bible, and it's important for a choir leader to study the Bible, and it's important for a lay person to study the Bible, because we're to be going forward together. I know some people that the only instruction they ever get from the Bible is when they come to the house of God, and that would be a sad, sad thing in the life of any believer. They won't go a day without eating, but they can go a week without reading it. You'll starve to death spiritually. But a deacon is a man that goes forward. He's in the Word of God. He's studying it. He's learning things. And that way when the preacher gets up and he's preaching on something and it's right on the Scripture, the deacon can say, amen! That's why I wonder sometimes I'm around here preaching and I'm like starving to death for somebody to say, amen! Brother Mickey will say it every now and then. I'll hear another one every now and then. You know, and I'm wondering, where's everybody else at? I just said something that's true, and amen means I agree with you. I agree with what you said. What you said lines up with the Bible, and it would be good to hear somebody say, amen.
Amen, preacher.
I was worried about preachers that wouldn't say amen to other preachers, you know. I figured out there were one or two things wrong. They're either jealous or they have no spiritual sense. they don't understand that preacher needs help. Amen. It's good to have an amen every now and then. Amen, Brother Chris. But that's what a deacon is, a man that goes forward. And as they move forward, they have greater boldness because they have greater knowledge. Do you realize that you can talk to people? The more knowledge you have about something, the more you can talk to people about it. And the greater you know the Lord, as a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that we don't need to study man to know what man needs. We need to study God. You know, all these things, all these programs that governments and stuff try to help people, what we need to do as churches and as believers is we need to study God, and God will teach us what man needs, and we can help men out, you know? Now, we thank the Lord for government. We thank the Lord for things that they do. But what I'm saying tonight is we can't equate ourselves to that. We have to look and realize we are to study the Bible. And as we study the Bible, God will reveal things about human beings to us, and we will know how to deal with certain kinds of people. And that's what we do. Anybody that has greater knowledge will have greater boldness. By the way, you know some of the greatest men in the Bible were deacons. We still talk about them today, don't we? Go look at the New Testament and see some of these men. Do you know who the first martyr was? The first martyr was a deacon. His name was Stephen. You remember Stephen? Getting stoned? Saul holding the coats of the people? Stephen. Now, we hope you don't get martyred. But if you were taking your stand... And all God's children said, amen. If you were taking your stand for the Lord, what greater cause would there ever be to die for than the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Preachers, deacons, Christians have been martyred down through the ages. But the first one we have recorded, these New Testament, these martyrs of New Testament believers, we believe to be Stephen, a deacon, that early church. And one of the first and great soul winners was a deacon. His name was Philip. You remember Philip? Going out and speaking to the Ethiopian? The Ethiopian was there reading in Isaiah, and he said, I don't get it. And that deacon took the Bible and said, this is what it means. And he got saved. I like that. See, some of the greatest people we ever meet in the world are deacons. Some of the greatest people in the Bible are deacons. And these men, Philip and Stephen, they're revered today because they use the office of a deacon well. We study the Bible. A scriptural church is one that has a pastor that's leading, and deacons that are helping, and members that are not in one of these offices must also be working for the cause of Christ. But we're all working together to carry out the will, the goal, the plan, the work that God has for us to do. And God has these two particular offices set up in the church for a purpose and for a reason. And He has these qualifications because He knows what's best and He knows what is right. But when you study the Bible, you're going to find there were people from all walks of life that served the Lord in a great and mighty way. But He has these two offices in the church. These two officers, pastor and deacon, must take their responsibility very seriously and understand it's very necessary for the church to move forward. It's for them to be right and doing the things that to be right. And you say, what if I'm not a pastor and what if I'm not a deacon? Well, you're still to be serving the Lord and working together, but you're to be praying for the pastor and praying for the deacon and working with them to help carry out what God has for the church. May the Lord help us. It's a difficult thing to preach on pastors and deacons. You know, you feel like you're leaving so many people out. But I think if you get the full gist of what the Bible is saying here, you'll realize every one of us has certain responsibilities. And that we ought to be thankful for people that hold positions at as they do it right, biblically. We ought to pray for them, and we ought to work with them in carrying out the work that God has for local assembly. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And tonight, Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, we realize it's been specifically geared just to one office. But Lord, we also realize that it's been quite general in the fact that we all have our responsibility in carrying out the work that needs to be done and being prayerful for the officers, for the leaders of church, for the need of more people to get the job done. Help us tonight to unite together in these things. And help us to be faithful in doing our part. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to quietly stand to your feet. So difficult to give an invitation.